I want to say again, it's a joy to have you in the house of God today. If you'll get your word ready. I'd like to ask everyone this morning to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through verse 19 this morning, as we bring the word of God to you today. I want to read the Passion Translation this morning, and I want you to pay very close attention to what the Word of God says to us today. And I love that He would unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. And the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. I want to read that last part again. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. I want to share with you after prayer this morning on this thought today. Extravagant love. Father, we thank You once again for the opportunity, Lord, to gather together in Your presence to feel Your glory and to feel the anointing of Your Holy Spirit. Now, Father, I ask You now, Lord, as we endeavor to break the bread of life, God, that You will let it speak to us in a very special way. But, Lord, I ask You, as the word goes forth, that Your love will come alive in every heart and in every soul. And if there's one in this room who has not experienced for themselves or has not felt for themselves Your love and Your mercy, I pray today that Your love will come alive in their life. And that Your love will change and transform who they are. And God, that Your love will become more real than it has ever been, so that they will understand what love really means. And that You are the definition of what love really is. And Father, we ask these things. We believe them and trust them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Extravagant love. I want you to think about that for just a moment. While we live in a world that so many people view love on different levels and in different ways, while romantic love may have many delusions, there is no delusion about the love of God. There's no greater love than God's love. Amen. There's no one who loves you more then God loves you. There's no one who will ever go to the extremes for you that God has and will go to for you. His love is extravagant. And it's like the song that we sing about His extravagant love. It does not make sense. So often we don't understand the love of God because we don't understand that somebody could love us that deeply, or somebody could love us that fully, or somebody could really care for us in the manner as God does. So many times it doesn't make sense to us, but it is very extravagant. His love is unmerited. His love is unconditional. His love is unending. His love is undeniable. You see, there's many terms and many ways that you can describe the love of God, but so often I feel like we're so inadequate in trying to describe how much He really does love us. But I want you to know he loves you so much that he gave everything just for you. Now I want to go back to those four terms I used a moment ago: unmerited, unconditional, unending, and undeniable. And I want to take a little closer look to what these would say to us and how they are revealed to us in the Word of God. Let me begin by saying this: God's love is unmerited. What does that mean, Pastor? It means we do not deserve it, but he gives it to us anyway. We do not deserve how much God loves and cares for us, but he gives it to us anyway. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 declares that all mankind by nature are children of wrath. I want you to think about that. All mankind by nature are children of wrath. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. And I'm going to be using different translations, so if you're reading out of one, don't let me lose you today. But it says, as the scripture says, there is no one who is righteous, no one who is wise or who worships God. All have turned away from God. All have gone wrong. No one does what is right, not even one. And then we look back once again to that former verse of scripture, and it says here again that we by nature are children of wrath. But then the Word of God declares to us in John 15 and 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you really want to know just how much God loved you, he gave his son, his only son, for your sin. You want to know how much Jesus really loves you? He laid down his life for you. C.S. Lewis stated it this way. He said, he loved us not because we were lovable, but because he is love. I want you to think about that, and I'm going to state that again. God didn't love you because you're lovable, because sometimes we're not lovable. Let's just get real a minute. Sometimes we are not lovable. Sometimes we don't deserve love. Amen? Sometimes we don't deserve for God to love us, but he loved us. Why? Because he is love. He is the definition of love. He is the showing of love. He is what love really means. So when you understand that in 1 John 4 and 10, this is love. He loved us long before we loved him. It was his love, not ours. He proved it by sending his son to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away our sin. You know why Jesus went to the cross? You know why God gave his son? Because we were bound by sin from our birth that we could not get loose from. Nothing else could free us from those sin. It had to be a sacrificial offering that would pay the ultimate price for all mankind. And Jesus was that offering. A man by the name of Karl Barth, a Swiss theologian of the 20th century, was invited to deliver one of the distinguished lectureships at the theological seminary in the East. And while he was there, a group of ministers and theologians and dignitaries of one kind and another sat down with him in a kind of question and answer period. And you have to just think for a moment the kind of dignitaries that are sitting in this room, the kind of theological minds that are sitting in this room. And someone asked Dr. Barth, what is the most profound thought you know, Dr. Barth? And this is what he said: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Can I just say this to you this morning? There is no more greater theological statement or powerful statement that can be made to mankind to understand what we sang about this morning. Jesus loves me, this I know. How do I know it? Because the Word of God declares and speaks to me and tells me that he loves me and he cares about me. God's love is unconditional. even as God's love is unmerited, but yet it's given to us, though we do not deserve it. It is unconditional. And I want to say to every person in this room, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. But on the flip side of that coin, I want to tell you, there is nothing you can do to make God love you less. You know what that means? It doesn't matter what you do, how high you go, how low you go, or where you are somewhere in between. God still loves you regardless. You can go to the lowest of low. You can go to the lowest place a man can go in this world or in life. But it doesn't stop God from loving you. He loves you. He cares about you. Unconditional love, simply put, is this. It is love without strings attached. You ever had somebody do something for you in your life and strings were attached? They would give you something or they would do something for you and they make you think that they're just doing it. They want to help you. They want to bless you. But somewhere down the road, you find out there were strings attached to what they did. Sometimes in life, that's the way it is. But I want to tell you something, the unconditional love of God, He loves you with no strings attached. There's nothing that He's going to pull on you somewhere down the road. He loves you regardless. Unconditional love, simply put, is this. It is love you offer freely. You give it even though someone doesn't deserve it. Even though someone is not worthy, you give it anyway. Unconditional love. You do not base it on what someone does for you in return, but you simply love them and want nothing but more than their happiness in their life. You want nothing more than happiness for them. You want good things for them. This type of love is sometimes called compassionate love. And then there's another word that we find according to the Word of God in the same way. It's called agape love. And we understand that the love of God is agape love for all mankind. It is unconditional. And I want you to hear this. God's love is impartial. God loves you no matter who you are. He loves you no matter what your nationality is. He loves you no matter what family you come from, where you come from, what you're about, who you are. He loves you unconditionally. His love is impartial. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 tells us, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. Before He even made the world, He loved us and He chose us. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us into Himself through Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear this next statement. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. Oh, hallelujah. That's the New Living Translation. This is what He wanted to do. It gave Him great pleasure, what? To choose us in Christ and to find and to bring us forth and love us unconditionally. God accepts and loves each of us just as we are. Now there may be somebody in this room that thinks to yourself or someone online that thinks to yourself, how can God love me like I am? How can God love me where I am? That's the good thing about the love of God. I'm going to take you back to something I said a while ago. It doesn't matter how low you go, how high you go, or where you are in between. Wherever you find yourself, God loves you where you are. God loves you just as you are. Now, I will say this. He may not love certain things that you're involved in. He may not love certain things that you do and certain things that you're a part of, but God loves you. When you accept God's love through Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, listen to this. God credits to you the righteousness of Christ. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He gives you or credits to you the righteousness that only comes through Jesus. You cannot add or take away from what Christ did on the cross for you. Amen. I want you to hear that. You cannot add to or take away from what Jesus did and the price he paid for you. But through his saving grace, can I tell you, you are deeply loved. Through his saving grace, you are completely forgiven. Through his saving grace, you are totally accepted by God. And I like this last one. Through his saving grace, you are absolutely complete in Christ. When you are saved by the grace of God, when you are saved by the lovingness of Jesus Christ, you become complete in him. I heard what Colin said a while ago, and I'm in full agreement. We are in an hour and a moment now. We gotta preach Jesus like we've never preached Jesus before. We gotta teach Jesus like we never taught Jesus before. We gotta proclaim Jesus Christ like we have never proclaimed Jesus Christ before. The world must hear of our Savior. The world must hear of his saving grace, his healing power, his mercy, his goodness, and his glory. I want to tell somebody in this room, hear the Lord say this. You are absolutely complete in Christ, but hear the Lord say, I know what you look like. I know your past. I know your future. I know your thoughts, and I love you regardless. Oh, I like that. He said, I love you regardless. How can he love you regardless? He said, because you are mine. I know where you came from. I know what your thoughts are. I know what your feelings are. I know everything about you. But I love you regardless. Why? Because you are mine. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. He poured our sin into Jesus so that Jesus may lay down his life on a cross at Calvary. But at the same time, in exchange of that, he poured God's goodness into our life. Literally, God took him who knew no sin, made him sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I want you to hear this next statement. I want you to hear it very closely. God loves us the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. God loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you just like you are. Amen. God's love, God's unconditional love, is not a license to live as we please. I'm not going to speed past that. We're going to stop here a minute. God loves you like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like you are. His unconditional love is not a license to live as we please. In other words, his unconditional love, he forgives you of your sin, he releases you of your sin. But let me tell you, the love of God does not give you permission to go out and live like you want to, do what you want to, and do any old kind of way or act any old kind of way. No, sir, no, ma'am. His unconditional love is not a license to live and act any way we want. But his unconditional love loves us regardless of where we are. Hebrews 12 and 6, for the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he corrects each one he takes as his own. Let me just stop and say this to you, and I want to be very careful, but I want you to hear me. If you can still feel the convicting power of God when you do something wrong, you better thank God every day you still feel the convicting power of God. If you can still feel God dealing with your heart and your soul when you do something wrong, you better thank God for it every single day. Why? Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he corrects those who he takes in as his own. When he's correcting me, Charles, he's loving me. When he's helping me to see my wrong, he's loving me. When he, oh God, help us this morning. When he opens our eyes to things in our life that's not what they ought to be, he's loving us and he's caring for us enough to bring us out of where we are. So let me just stop and tell you, the next time you feel conviction in your heart, do not think for a moment that God hates you or God despises you. What it actually is showing you is God loves you so much more than you can understand. God loves you so much more than you recognize, because as long as he's convicting and wooing and drawing at your spirit, he's pulling you toward him. God help us to hear him, and God help us to come when he calls. God's love is unending. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, for he has said, amplified version, and I like this, for he has said, I will never under any circumstance desert you. Did you hear what God said? I will never under any circumstance desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless. If that don't make you feel good, I don't know what will. Then he said, nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you. Charles, he said, I will not forsake it. I will not let you down. I want to tell somebody something. Man will let you down. People will let you down. Things will let you down. The world will let you down. Things around you will let you down. But God said, I will not let you down. So let me just stop and ask you today, who are you going to put your trust in? Who are you going to put your faith in? Who are you going to lean on? Who are you going to depend on? I choose David to depend on the Lord, because he said he would never, ever, 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 ever let me down. Nor will I forsake you or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not, is how he ended it. Assuredly not. You know what that says? You can take it to the bank. You can stand on it. You can stand in full assurance. God will do what he said he will do. The world's concept of love is this, that it is temporal and it is fleeting. That's the world's concept of love. The world's concept of love is cheap. You with me? The world's concept of love is cheap. Its concept is temporal and fleeting. Human love, listen to this, and I got this word in bold letters. Human love sometimes says, as long as you stimulate me, as long as I can be proud of you, as long as you are beautiful, I can love you. If you change, my love for you changes. That's what the love of the world sometimes says. I was reading a story yesterday, and it just broke my heart, but you realize we live in that kind of world. A lady was involved in a fire, and she was taken to the hospital emergency room. She was in ICU, and she was there, had a cast on. She had burns all over her body. Didn't look like she used to look. Her husband walks into the hospital room where she is, and he looks down at her, and he says, you're not the woman I married. You're not the person I married. And he walked out. And he walked away. And he went and found some other beautiful young lady that was naive enough to fall into his trap and pull her in. But basically what he said to you is this. I'm proud of you as long as you look all right. As long as you're beautiful, oh, I love you. But if you ever change, I won't love you anymore. If you ever become different, I won't love you anymore. I want to just stop right here and just say to you and to those online, have you ever been in that place where either somebody made that statement to you, or either you felt that in your heart, or you felt that deep inside. You felt like you were being rejected because you didn't think you were beautiful enough anymore. You felt like you were being rejected because you didn't feel like they were proud of you anymore. You felt like you were being rejected because certain things didn't line up anymore. Well, let me just say it again. Human love sometimes says, as long as you stimulate me, as long as you make me proud, as long as you're beautiful, I'm going to love you. But if you ever change, my love will you for change. But even as God is eternal, God's love is eternal. So it doesn't matter what human love looks like sometimes. It doesn't matter what human love feels like sometimes. God said, I love you whether you're beautiful or not. God said, I love you whether you are what you were before or not. God said, I love you unconditionally. I love you no matter what. And God wants somebody in this room to hear me this morning, and on my way of line this morning. I don't care how low you've gone. I don't care how far you've run from God. I don't care how many worldly scars you have on your life. I don't care how many scars you carry, physically, spiritually, or emotionally. God said, I love you regardless. God's love is eternal. Nothing you and I can ever do, nothing that will ever happen to me or you or in our lives will ever cause God to stop loving us. Nothing we will ever do will ever stop God from loving us. Give him a hand right there. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, for I am convinced. Amplified version, for I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor and threatening nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from what? The unlimited love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I want to go back for a minute. For I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that nothing shall separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I don't have a doubt. There's nothing can separate me from the unlimited, unmatched love of God. Then in 1 Samuel 12, 22, the Lord has made a solemn promise, and he will not abandon you. Somebody hear those words this morning. That's the Good News Translation. The Lord has made a solemn promise. He will not abandon you. Somebody needs to hear those words this morning. God will not abandon you. Doesn't matter what anybody else or anything else does in your life, God will not abandon you. Life's setbacks are temporary. Hear this. Life's setbacks are temporary. We face them. We deal with them. It happens. But life's setbacks are temporary, but God's love is permanent. Setbacks are temporary things that we're going to go through, Terry Ann, but the love of God is permanent in our life. What does that mean? God never stops pursuing us even when we are not pursuing him. I'm going to stop and talk to somebody. You may have stopped pursuing God. You may have laid down your mantle. You may have set things aside concerning the Lord and just decided to go your own way, to do your own thing and live your own life. And maybe you stopped being in pursuit of God, but I got news for you. God has never stopped pursuing you. God has never stopped going after you. God has never stopped longing for you. Why? What do you mean, Pastor? We cannot get away from the fact that he loves us. And I got this in bold letters. He is absolutely crazy about you and me. God is absolutely crazy about us. He loves you dearly. God's love is undeniable. Oh, you got to hear this one this morning. God's love is undeniable, which means his love is unquestionable. His love is obvious. His love is evident. His love is clear. His love is certain. His love is sure. His love is undeniable. You cannot deny the fact that he truly loves you. In Romans 5 and 8, but God clearly shows and proves his love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God proves his love by not giving us what we deserve. I want to be very careful right here, but I want to make it very clear to you. God loves us. He proves his love to us by not giving us what we deserve. You want to know what we deserve? Robert, we deserve to die in our sin. You want to know what we deserve? We deserve hell. You want to know what we deserve? We do not deserve the righteousness of God. But God proves his love toward us in the fact that he does not give us what we deserve. In Psalm 103 verse 10 tells us that he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us as according to our iniquities. I like that. He doesn't treat us according to how our sin deserves it, but he treats us according to how he loves us. He doesn't treat us or repay us according to how we've lived in iniquity, but he treats and repays us according to his love. Here's a good statement for you. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. This may not be politically correct. It may not be a lot of things. But I'm going to say it because I feel led of the Holy Ghost to say it. God hates homosexuality, but he loves the homosexual. God hates adultery, but he loves the adulterer. God hates fornication, but he loves the fornicator. He hates the deepest depths of sin, but he loves the one who may have gone to the deepest depths of sin. It all goes back to that statement, God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. He doesn't love what they do, but he loves who they are. He loves them. God proved his love to us by giving his only son to die for us. John 3:16, verse 17, very familiar to us all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then he goes on to say, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God proved his love to us by giving his Son. He laid all the sins of the world on Jesus. He placed all his wrath against sin upon Jesus. Isaiah 53:6 tells us that he laid on him the guilt and sin of every one of us. Every guilt, every sin, everything of every man, he laid it on Jesus. Why did God do that? So why would God do that for us? I'll tell you why. Because he doesn't want any of us to be lost in our sin. He wants us to come to know the fullness of the saving grace of God. He wants us to come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, he does not want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. He doesn't want anybody to perish, but he wants us all to come to repentance. When Adam sinned, it was not him who cried, God, where art thou? But you remember what the Bible said? It was God who cried, Adam, where art thou? Wasn't God, Adam saying, God, where are you? God was saying, Adam, where are you? You know why? Because God longs for us. God longs for us. I hope you listen to me. I'm closing, but I got to share my heart with you a minute. God longs for us in Matthew 11:28. He said, come to me, all you are heavy and carry heavy burdens, or weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. He said, if you're weary, if you're carrying a heavy load, carrying a heavy burden, come to me, I'll give you rest. And I want to shift gears here for just a moment as I close this morning. Listen to me closely. I'll get real, real with you for a minute. God knows you. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. There's nothing about you that you can fool God with. He knows you. But that being said, you are important to God. Did you know that? you didn't understand that, please understand that today. God knows you, and you are important to God. No matter how insignificant you may think you are, God knows you, and you're important. Your life matters. Why? Because God loves you. Your life means something. Why? Because God loves you. Your life counts. Why? Because God loves you. Your life counts with God. Very softly for a moment. Somebody's got to hear this. Sometimes you may wonder. Listen close. Sometimes you may wonder, what difference does it make if I get up in the morning or if I don't? Sometimes you may wonder, it seems as if my life is an endless cycle of things that really doesn't mean anything. Sometimes you may wonder if life is really worth living at all. You ever been there? You ever thought it? You ever felt it? If you've heard nothing else this morning, I want you to hear me right here and right now. Hear God saying this. Your life is worthwhile. Your life is worthwhile. God is saying it is my gift to you. Every moment. Stand to your feet. Your life matters. I know I shifted gears right there at the end, but somebody needs to get that this morning. God wants to show you His extravagant love. God wants to show you just how much you really mean to Him. But He wants you to understand that your life matters. It is His gift to you. And He's saying to every one of us, live every moment and live it to its fullest. I'm going to give this altar call this morning. I'm going to call you exactly the way God spoke it to me just before I walked out of the office. If you want to experience the extravagant love of God, listen to me. I'm being very real with you. If you want to experience the extravagant love of God, but let's take it a little closer. If you need to experience the extravagant love of God, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and come toward the front of this room with an open heart, with an open mind, and an open spirit to receive from God. Get out of your seat right now and hurriedly come down here. Hurry, hurry, hurry. If you want to experience the extravagant love of God, if you need to experience the extravagant love of God, get out of your seat and come forward. Hurry, hurry, hurry. I'm not talking to any select group of people. I'm talking to everybody in this house. Whether you know Jesus or whether you don't know Jesus, I'm speaking to you right now. If you want the extravagant love of God, if you need the extravagant love of God upon your life, get out of your seat right now and come down here in a hurry. Is there anybody else in this room? Thank God for every person who's gotten out of their seat. But I'm going to ask you one more time, and I'm going to call the church and we're going to pray. Listen, I'm not talking to sinners. I'm not talking to saints. I'm not going to say anybody in between, because there is no either between. You're either a child of God or you're not, one of the two. But I'm talking to everybody in this house. Some of you have walked through some valleys here lately that you don't understand. And if you've ever needed to feel the love of God, you need to feel it right now. If you've ever known the love of God, you need to know it right now. Some of you have gone through some very difficult trials and some very difficult moments, some hardships that you do not and did not understand. And if you've ever needed to feel or sense the love of God, you need to feel and sense it now. I'm talking to you. I'm speaking to you. Doesn't matter how much you felt the love of God in the past. You may be in a place right now that you need to feel and you need to sense and you need to understand and know the love of God in the moment that you're walking in. If that's you, join these in this altar right now. Is there anybody else? Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit of God in this house.